The Old Testament lesson is from Genesis 32, verses 22 through 30. It talks about Jacob. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. Paul's letter to Timothy, his second letter, just before he was executed. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and extort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news, according to St. Luke, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, there are some events in life that are so impactful that they are game changers. They might be either of a positive or of a negative character, but those events are transformational when they alter our circumstances to such an extent that we perhaps even change our direction in life. We change our values and attitudes. Perhaps one of these transformational events even affects, on a very deep and personal level, our relationship with others and our relationship with God. Well, the Brubakers had one of those impactful transformational events happen in their lives this past week with the addition of Rosie, is that right? And Rosie is going to have a transformational effect on their lives that they have no idea about yet. Rosie is going to impact the lives of her siblings. And certainly Rosie's life has taken a transformation. This last week, I celebrated the anniversary of a transformational event in my life. The 59th anniversary on October 14th of my first date with a young lady. And she's timing this sermon even as I speak. Little did I know how much that one date would transform my life. Well, we read a story in our Old Testament lesson for today about Jacob, who experienced one of those transformational events in his life. It revolved around receiving a blessing from God that came about after a wrestling match that changed his identity and that was a constant reminder to him because of a limp that he sustained in that wrestling match. And we're going to see how that transformational event in Jacob's life, what that has to do with us. Just a little bit about Jacob before we go on with our text. He was the second born of twins. His older brother was Esau, who was born just a minute or two before him. And when Jacob was born, he was clutching with one of his hands onto his brother Esau's heel of one of his feet. Genesis chapter 25, verses 25 and 26, you can read about it. It's almost like Jacob was saying, hey, wait a minute, I was supposed to be first. That's why he got the name Jacob. Because in their language, Jacob meant grabber. Jacob the grabber. It also had a meaning of deceiver. Now go back, if you need to refresh your memories, go back to about Genesis chapter 25 and start reading forward. And Jacob lived up to his name. He deceived, he defrauded his father, Isaac, into bestowing the blessing meant for the firstborn unto him instead of his older brother, Esau. And then he had to flee from his home because of fear of what Esau was going to do to him. And so he goes up north about 400 miles. Boy, he got a long ways away from Esau. And he went to work for his uncle, Laban, his mother's brother. And he worked for Laban for 20 years. And during that period of time, he had two wives. He had 11 sons. And he had herds and flocks of animals that no one could hardly count. And his cousins were all getting very angry with him because Jacob was so successful. And then in the middle of the night, Jacob flees because he is so overcome with fear about what his cousins are going to do to him. So boy, he gets out of Dodge in a hurry. And he heads south again to his old home, his old stomping grounds. But you know what's in the back of Jacob's mind? Who's waiting for him? Esau. How is Esau going to take his coming back? And so this is where our text picks up the story of Jacob the grabber, Jacob the deceiver. He had sent a messenger to his brother Esau, I'm coming back home. And the messenger returned with a message from Esau that says, I'm coming to meet you, Jacob. That's the good news. The bad news is, I'm coming with 400 men. And so Jacob sends all of his belongings, all of his herds, all of his flock, all of his family across the river Jabbok. And he goes back and he's by himself. He's all alone and he is scared. Because he might lose everything. He might lose all of his possessions. He might lose his family and he might lose his own life. And it's precisely at that point where he is encountered by a man that the text tells us engages him in a wrestling match. It was God who had assumed human form. And precisely at a point of extreme vulnerability in Jacob's life, God shows up. He had been there in Jacob's life all along, but Jacob just now can no longer ignore the presence of God. I think that's the way it often is in our lives. It is when we are experiencing our vulnerability that we're not in control. It's at that point precisely where we become most open and most receptive to the work of God in our lives. So this man wrestles with Jacob until the break of day. It was the Lord God who had assumed human form. And we ask ourselves, why would the Lord God do that? Why would he assume human form and engage Jacob in this wrestling match? I think for the first thing, it shows his desire to be in relationship with his children. And so he accommodates himself to their level, to engage them, to bring them into a closer relationship with him. And the second reason is that if anybody needed a transformation in their life and in their attitude, it was Jacob. Because, you see, through these years when Jacob had been so successful with everything that he did, Jacob got the idea that he, Jacob, was in control of Jacob's life. And there's one point where Jacob tells God, you know, Lord God, if you continue to bless me the way you have been blessing me in the past, if you continue to guide my steps and keep me safe, then you will be my God. Then I will worship you. And I'll even give you 10% of everything I have. Well, I'm sure glad I've never felt like that. I'll bet you're glad you've never felt like that as well. Well, this wrestling match went through the night until the break of day. And there's an odd statement about the man not being able to overpower Jacob. And yet he was able to dislocate Jacob's hip simply by a touch. This was not a fair fight. Jacob wouldn't have been able to hold his own with this man if this man wouldn't have allowed it to happen. Why did this wrestling match go on for so long, all through the night until the break of day? I thought a lot about that. And here's the answer that came to me. You may not agree with me. That so often, growth, personal growth, emotional and especially spiritual growth comes through struggle. Transformational events are so many times connected with a difficult time in life. And I want to be very careful here. I do not mean to say that every difficult circumstance and or bad thing that occurs in our life is necessarily the direct result of God's will. For example, my mother died of pancreatic cancer at the age of 64, and she really suffered. If ever there had been a devout believer in God, it was my mom. The cancer that she had was not God's will. It's something that happened because we live in a very imperfect world. There are things that happen that we cannot understand. And yet we know and trust that through all things and anything and everything, it is God's desire to draw us ever closer to Him. My mom held on to God through faith, just like Jacob held on to his opponent. And like Jacob would receive a blessing, my mom received a blessing, the assurance that the Lord was with her and that one day she will hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest prepared for you from the foundations of the world." It's so hard for us to accept that oftentimes struggle is the avenue to blessings and that hardship is the pathway to peace. But so it is. So it is. Jacob hangs on to his adversary until he says, "I won't let go until you give me a blessing." And I find this very interesting. It wasn't as though Jacob was now telling his opponent, "You're going to bless me by continuing to multiply my flocks and herds. You're going to continue to bless me by guaranteeing my safety." No. Jacob just says, "Give me a blessing." And leaves it open-ended. See, there had been a change, a transformation in his attitude. So Jacob receives a new name, a new identity. He surely wasn't expecting that. His name has changed from Jacob to Israel. And the name Israel means one who strives with God. Jacob is now blessed because he realizes that life is not about him grabbing everything he can to secure his life, but it's about receiving God's good and gracious gifts. He was receiving a new life based on faith in a gracious God. This was truly a transformational event for Jacob Israel. I would imagine that you can think of another time in the scriptures where we are told that God assumes human form. Just like he did in this wrestling match with Jacob, there's another time that God's identity was concealed, hidden in Jesus of Nazareth. That God took unto himself human flesh and blood, so that he might become our Savior, so that he might come alongside of us and guarantee to us the forgiveness of all our sins, the assurance of eternal life. Jesus came to engage the forces of sin, death, and the devil. And salvation then is a gift. There is nothing that you or I can do to earn it. We simply receive it. It's like we say in that one Christian hymn, "Nothing in my hand I bring, Simply to thy cross I cling. You know, when you think about the word transformational, it starts with a T, a capital T. And if you take that top line of the T and just move it down, you've made a cross. And the cross, and that transformational event continues to have ongoing significance for each and every one of us, every day, every step, every breath. You know, Jacob Israel, had a constant reminder of the transformational event that occurred in his life, because what did he come away with that wrestling match with? A limp, an owie, a hurt. Every step of the rest of his life. You know, oftentimes we don't think of something like that as being a blessing. But it was for Jacob Israel, because it reminded him he's not the one in control of things, God is. And that he continues to need to look to him. And it's sort of similar to the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh, right? That Paul says that he was given this thorn in the flesh to keep him from being too conceited. And that the only thing that mattered in his weakness was God's strength. A few weeks ago, this young lady that I went out on a date with 59 years ago misplaced something. And she hardly ever misplaces anything. I'm the one that continually misplaces something. I can't find it. I'll say, Judy, do you know where I put such and such? And then about 3 seconds later, she has it for me. She found it. Well, this particular time, she had misplaced something. It was a sewing project. And then a couple days later, she found it. She told me she had put it in a box labeled Future Projects. And sort of kiddingly, I said, and am I one of your future projects? She looked at me and she says, no, you're an ongoing project. Isn't it a blessing to be God's ongoing projects? That he continues to bless. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.